on the train that takes me away. Not gonna see you for a while.
Why?
It's an away game. It's an away game.
I'm coming home soon.
G'day, I'm Irk, and welcome to episode number 8 of Irk to the Penalty Box, a new-ish hockey podcast, primarily at the moment dealing with the Australian Ice Hockey League. Please be upstanding for the national anthem of Finland. You are listening to episode 8 of Irk to the Penalty Box. Let's get going. There's a lot to talk about this week as I review last weekend in the Australian Ice Hockey League to finish off the month of July and preview the coming games to start August. It's finals month coming up as you're listening to this. Finals month here on Irk to the Penalty Box, irktothepenaltybox.com, as we go for the very first period. So let's have a look at the games from last week in the Australian Ice Hockey League, just to summarise before we go into the games in detail. Up in Newcastle on Saturday, the North Stars had a long-awaited victory at home, defeating the Melbourne Ice 4-2. Meanwhile, over in Adelaide, the Sydney Bears played two games against the Adelaide Adrenaline in what's being known as Oddie Fest. And on Saturday, the Adrenaline won 6-4. And over in Perth, to conclude the Saturday games, the Thunder played the Brave, and the Brave came out on top 3-1 against the Thunder on Saturday. Moving to Sunday, a very close game in Liverpool, the Melbourne Ice defeating the Sydney Ice Dogs 3-2. Over in Perth, the Brave came against the Thunder again, and the Brave beat the Thunder 5-3. And in the other game of Oddie Fest this week, it was a real festival. Greg Oddie's 300th game in the Australian Ice Hockey League. The Adrenaline winning 8-1 in that particular game. So having a look at the ladder before we go briefly into what's going on. Or is this the ladder? Let's have a look. After last week, the Melbourne Mustangs had the weekend off. So they are still on 38 points and still leading the competition. The Melbourne Ice, they're in second place, also on 38. In third position are the CBR Brave on 36. Our fourth place, the Ice Dogs on 36. And then after them are the Adrenaline on 35, the North Stars on 26, the Thunder on 25, and the Bears on 21. Or is it? As I'm recording this on Thursday night, the 31st of July, the Australian Ice Hockey League Commission have announced that there will be some changes to that ladder as a result of the games that were postponed after the Adelaide Adrenaline bus crash. Game 77, the CBR Brave versus the Adelaide Adrenaline, was postponed, as was Game 79, the Sydney Bears versus Adelaide Adrenaline. Those games on the 19th and 20th of July, respectively. Now, the league are saying that all three teams work to reschedule those games and alternatives were not found. The league are also saying that All three clubs were consulted, and the commission has decided, after that decision making, that 1 point will be awarded for each team that were in the cancelled games. So as a result, reading from the release by the Australian Ice Hockey League, the Adelaide Adrenaline were awarded 1 point for Game 77 and 1 point for Game 79. CBR Brave were awarded 1 point for Game 77, and the Sydney Bears awarded 1 point for Game 79. As it stands at the moment, as of 10 p.m. on the 31st of July, the competition table has not been updated yet and will be updated sometime within the next few days, according to the article that you can read on the website of the league. The games will be... the points will be added by the 5th of August. So looking at what the revised table will be, the Mustangs will still be on 38, the Ice will still be on 38, the Brave go up a point to 37, and then the Adrenaline come into the top four because they get 2 points because they are affected by two games. They go to 37. But because of countbacks and everything, the Brave should be in third, the Adrenaline in fourth, and that will put the Ice Dogs down in fifth on 36. They will be followed by the North Stars 26, Thunder 25, and Bears get a point. They go to 22. So there's a lot of debate going on as we speak in relation to who said what, who did what, who didn't do what, other things that could have been done. But according to my calculations of the extra points added, the competition ladder stands at the moment as Mustangs 38, Ice 38, Brave 37, Adrenaline 37, Ice Dogs 36, and then the North Stars 26, the Thunder 25, and the Bears 21. And it was interesting to note last weekend, after the weekend's games, that the Australian Ice Hockey League basically wrote off the Bears and said, bye-bye Bears, no finals for you. They haven't done yet for the Thunder and the North Stars, although considering that both of those teams are well and truly under what the Ice Dogs are, they could probably say goodbye for them too, even though there's a very, very minute mathematical chance, depending on who you talk to. So that is a summary of what's going on at the moment. We'll go more in detail in just a moment. This is Irk to the Penalty Box. Let's go in some detail and let's have a look at last week's matches in detail. And the first game we'll have a look at is the game in Newcastle. I actually didn't see any of the games live because I went to the international series that I'll talk about in the third period. So having a look at the first game of the weekend, the Newcastle North Stars played the Melbourne Ice in Newcastle. The Newcastle North Stars opened up the scoring with a power play goal at 12 minutes 20. Adam Gehrig from JFK and Katie Danberg. Melbourne Ice equalised at 5:07 with a goal to Tommy Power from Jeremy Brown. And to end up the period with 2 minutes to go, Katie Danberg scored another goal from Matt Watini and Stuart Cole-Clark to make the score 2-1 at the end of the first period. Shots on goal favouring the Newcastle North Stars 10-8. Let's have a look. Anything significant in the penalties? Not really. A holding, a cross-checking, and an interference. Two players in the penalty box for the Ice and one for the North Stars. Going on to the second period. Wow, there wasn't a lot of action goal-scoring-wise in the second period. The Melbourne Ice equalised with a power play goal at 3 minutes and 2 seconds. Matt Armstrong from Tommy Powell and Liam Webster. And then with 16 seconds remaining for the North Stars, Bo Taylor from JFK and Brian Bales. So the period was tied, but the North Stars still up 3-2 at this stage. Not much going penalty box-wise there either. Nowhere near as many penalty minutes as the last time that these two teams met in Melbourne. And the third period, only one goal scored there early in the third period to the North Stars. Cody Danberg again, so he's picked up a double from Matt Latini and JFK. Final shots at goal there in the second period, dominated by the Ice 13-9. And in the third period, also dominated by the Ice 17-5. Total shots on goal, 24 to the North Stars, but the Ice had more with 38. But where it counts is on the scoreboard, the North Stars winning 4-2. Power plays, the Newcastle North Stars converted 1 of 3, and the Melbourne Ice converted 1 of 6. So the North Stars beat the Ice 4-2 in Newcastle. Then we go across to Adelaide, where I was trying to watch this game via Twitter, but it was very, very difficult. And in one instance, I actually got the goal scorer wrong because that was the fact that was reported to me. And in another instance, I didn't even know that a player had a hat-trick in the third period because it simply wasn't reported. Lots of penalties and lots of goals in this one. The adrenaline opened the scoring with two quick goals to Webby Doug in the first period at 3 minutes 20 and 2 minutes 43 respectively. At the end of the first period, it was adrenaline 2-0. And they were also leading shots on goal 16-11. Not many penalties in that period either. Going through to the second period, two more goals to the adrenaline, a power play goal to Josh Harding at 12:08, and another goal, so a hat trick so far to Webby Doug at 10:05, and opening the scoring for the Bears at 8:04, Ben DeMarco from Spencer Austin and Lee Turner. I actually gave Spencer Austin the goal on social media because that's the way it was reported. So at the end of the second period, it was adrenaline 4-1. Shots at goals, this time favouring the Bears 10-9 in the second period. Rob Willis picked up a couple of high-sticking penalties for the Bears. Although, having just read that, it looks like they've added him twice, or it was possibly two offences. Michael Schlamp for the Bears, their Bears captain, also picked up a cross-check and a roughing. And as a result of the same incident, the Adelaide Adrenaline's David Huxley also picked up one for roughing, although they've got him for roughing twice as well. So I'm not sure exactly what was going on there. In the third period, the Bears actually won the period 3-2 as they had a comeback. The adrenaline opened the scoring at 18:38. Webby Doug again scoring. So that's four goals from him for the period. And then there were goals to Sean Hamilton-Steen, Robo-Steen, with goals at 8 minutes, 3:26, and a power play goal with 34 seconds remaining. The adrenaline also scored a shorthanded and an empty net goal with 1 minute 18 remaining. Shots on goal for the period, 18-13 to the adrenaline, and the adrenaline winning shots at goal overall, 43-34 and 6-4 on the scoreboard, even though the Bears came back towards the end there with a hat-trick in a single period by Sean Hamilton-Steen. So that was the Bears versus the Adrenaline on Saturday, game 299 for Greg Oddy. Okie dokie, so we go from Adelaide and we go across to Perth and we have a look at the first game between the Thunder and the Brave on Saturday at the Thunderdome, and it was a 3-1 result to CBR Brave. The CBR Brave opened the scoring very, very early at 14:28. Anton Kokkonen again picking up another goal there. And shortly thereafter, Andrew Cox tied the scoring at 14:15 to make it 1-1 at the end of the first period. Shots on goal, CBR Brave 6-5. No scoring in the second period, and the third period saw CBR Brave scoring two more goals. Matthew Olietti's getting a goal at 7 minutes 56, and Anton Kokkonen scored a goal at 3 minutes 58, a shorthanded goal there. So it was interesting in the third period. They swapped the assist and the goal around. Matthew Olietti from Anton Kokkonen to start with the first goal, and then they switched it around from the second, Kokkonen from Olietti. Shots on goal in the second period, Thunder 12-7. But in the third quarter, 13-11 to the Brave. 28-26 shots on goal to the Thunder in the end. But the CBR Brave indeed winning 3-1. It was interesting to note that during this game, Stephen Blunden, who was suspended for this game, he had the keys to the CBR Brave Twitter account. And due to a miscommunication over there in Perth, he was actually credited with scoring a goal even though he was suspended. So that was the, I believe that was the first goal of the third period. But he was indeed suspended and running the Twitter account at the time. I can understand how these things happen with live tweeting and based on the information that you have in front of you. Neither team were able to convert their power plays. CBR Brave had 4 power plays, the Thunder had 6, but none of them were able to convert. So the Brave beating the Thunder 3-1 on Saturday. So having a look on the games for Saturday that I went through, as I said, I mentioned that I also went to the International Series game between the US and Canada on Saturday night in Sydney. The result of the series up to that point was that the US had won 2 games of the series, Canada had won 2 games of the series, and the winner would take the Douglas Weber Trophy. And the winner turned out to be the US, who won in overtime. They ended up winning 5-4 in an overtime win to the US. Great atmosphere, 22,500 people at All Fans Arena in Sydney. It was interesting to note that there was a rugby league game of the National Rugby League being held just a little bit up the road at ANZ Stadium. There was something like 9,000 people there and 22,000 at the ice hockey. Interesting to note that some people have said, yeah, 9,000 people at the NRL and 22,000 at the hockey. Say hockey must be more popular, right? Well, no, it doesn't work like that. It's very hard to compare a club game of rugby league where one of the two teams is an out-of-Sydney team compared to an international game of ice hockey, which for many people there that I saw was a novelty. Sure, you have your hardcore hockey fans and you have some that have probably heard of the Australian Ice Hockey League and some that haven't. But you've also got a lot of people, oh yeah, ice hockey, something different, let's go and watch and let's watch for the fights and everything like that. And there were a fair few fights, so something like 9 fights in the first period alone. A great experience, especially for someone like me. I haven't seen any NHL games live yet. My biggest game to that point was games in the Western Hockey League, the Portland Winterhawks. So to get the full NHL experience with the jumbotrons and the pyrotechnics and the sound and everything like that, it was great. And I hope that some of those people do decide to come along to an Australian Ice Hockey League game. But having said that, their expectations are going to be extremely high coming from that game where, you know, there was 22,500 people there. The Liverpool Stadium, where the Sydney Ice Dogs play, holds about 500, maybe a little bit more max. The Sydney Ice Arena, where the Bears play, you know, something like 1,000. So it's going to be two totally different experiences, and one which is going to be very, very hard to replicate. Some people may come across and watch the experience, and some mightn't, but it's a matter of trying to advertise the local league as best as you can. Hopefully some people will make the switch across, but regardless of that, it's a very interesting season in the Australian Ice Hockey League, and I'll tell you more about it in the second period.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please rise for the Zamboni!
This is a tribute to Johnny Cash, the greatest punk rocker that has ever lived. It's called The Greatest Season, about the New York Islanders winning 9 in a row and hopefully going undefeated for the whole year, but it didn't happen, and here we go.
The season just got underway. We got 3 wins in a row. Just thinking of a win. That is how our greatest season started to begin. Five, seven, nine, ten, it's 13 in a row. Pressure started mounting up, but we just kept on going. Happened at the high school level, but never in the pros. An undefeated season, the naysayers said no. I say, Steve, let's go. tale could end quite happily. We're sorry, but it won't. We lost to an expansion team. Some have said we choked. 53 victories all in a row. We clinched the playoffs by all-star break. We're playoff bound. Let's go. All right, here we go. One more time.
On lead guitar there.
You are listening to Irk to the Penalty Box, episode number 8, and the second period starts now. Let's have a look at the Sunday games. The first one, the Ice Dogs versus the Melbourne Ice at Liverpool. This would have been an awesome game to go to. Unfortunately, I wasn't there. You know, this isn't my full-time job, being a hockey writer and a hockey podcaster and whatnot, so sometimes I have to go to my paid place of employment. The Melbourne Ice opened up the scoring in the first period, a power play goal to Matt Armstrong at 7:58, and that saw the end of the first period. The Melbourne Ice well on top, shots at goal in the first period, 15-4. In the second period, a solo goal to the Ice Dogs, another power play goal at 2 minutes 11. Brian Funes scored a goal from John Clelo, and shots a goal there, the Sydney Ice Dogs 10-9. And a very, very close game so far, 1-1 at the end of the second period, and the Melbourne Ice, they scored two further goals to win the game 3-2 in the third period. Austin McKenzie opened the scoring for the Ice at 7 minutes 35 with an unassisted goal. And then to bring it back to 2-2. John Cleary scored a goal from Simon Bug at 3:51. And then with 1:33 to go, Jason Balick from the Ice got the victory, got the W for the Melbourne Ice. And they ended up winning 3-2. Shots at goal in the end, 10-9 to the Sydney Ice Dogs in periods 2 and 3. But the Ice outshooting them 33-24. Each team were able to convert one of their power plays. The Melbourne Ice had 3 power plays. The Sydney Ice Dogs had 2. So, again, not many penalties there, considering the previous week. Although there were a few penalties, especially in the second and the third period. A very close and a very tough game there at the Liverpool... I was going to say the Liverpool Ice Arena, the Liverpool Catholic Club, for the very interesting game between the Ice and the Ice Dogs. Get out of my life without a trace. I want to slow it down. Sometimes, always in my mind, always in my face. Don't have any time, always on my case. So let's have a look at the next game on the list, heading across to Adelaide. And it was a real pew-pew-pew fest, but unfortunately, depending on your point of view, if you're a Bears fan, unfortunately, all the pew-pew-pew was heading at Luke Reid. Luke Reid, our favourite backup goalie in the league, as voted by the fans, he actually started the game and he played the entire game. Daniel Palmquist actually didn't suit up for the Bears. He had a bit of soreness from the previous day. And the Bears actually opened up the scoring in this one. Sean Hamilton-Steen added another goal to his account at 9:08 to make the score 1-0. And then the Adelaide Adrenaline kicked off from there and scored all the remaining goals. At the 8:12 mark, Kane Fedder for the Adrenaline scored a goal. And the man himself celebrating 300 games, Greg Oddie, got himself a power play goal at 4:03. And the Adrenaline were winning 2-1 at the end of the first period. Shots at goal favouring the Adrenaline 12-8. And not a lot of action in the penalty box either. The Adrenaline, 3 more goals in the second period. An unassisted goal to James Dean at 12:39. Another power play goal to Greg Oddie at 6:42, and a shorthanded goal at 2:34 to Webby Doug, adding to his tally for the weekend. And so by the end of the second period, it was 5-1 to the Adrenaline. No comeback from the Bears, unlike the previous day. Another 3 goals in the third period, with goals at 14:58, a shorthanded goal to Nico Sumarami. And then a couple of minutes later, David Huxley scored another goal at 13:24. And then for the icing on the cake, Kane Fedor picked up his double with a goal at 1:01 remaining. And the game was over at 8-1. Shots at goal, needless to say, favoured Adelaide 46-25. In the first period, it was 12-8. In the second period, 15-8. And in the third period, 19-9. The Bears, of course, had opportunities. They had 10 power plays, didn't convert any of them. And the Adrenaline converted 2 from 3 for 66.7%. And they also scored 2 short-handed goals there. So a fair bit of action in the penalty box, including a couple of game misconducts in the second period. And let's have a look. Greg Oddie Fest. What did he do on Sunday? 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 points, and no penalty minutes. Luke Reid, a lot of work to do for the Bears. He played his first full game for the season and his first game of starting for the season, saving 38 from 46. Michael Will having not so much work to do at the other end, saving 24 out of 25. and a rather bad result for the Bears, needless to say. 8-1, adrenaline winning. So let's have a look at the final game of last weekend. The Brave against the Thunder. And the Brave, they picked up maximum points for the weekend, defeating the Thunder 5-3 in Perth. The CBR Brave totally dominating the first period with 3 goals in the first period. Anton Kokkonen at 11 minutes and 1 second. Corey Wilkie with a power play goal at 8:22, and Jordan Gavin with another goal at 7:16. Shots on goal equal at 12 all in the first period. CBR Brave leading 3-0 at the end of the first period. The Thunder got themselves on the board for the only goal of the second period. Jonathan Bremner scoring that goal at 7:57. Shots at goal again equal 8 all in the second period. And in the third period, 2 goals to each team, but the Brave were just too far ahead by that stage. A shorthanded goal to Justin Fox to open the scoring for the Thunder in the third period at 16:31. And then soon after that, a power play goal to the Brave at 12:22. Kai Mittinen scoring that goal there for them, and then a shorthanded goal for the Thunder, Justin Fox picking up another goal, that's his second for the day at 6:52, and to put the cherry on top for the Brave, an empty net goal to Corey Wilkie, picking up his double for the weekend, an empty net goal with 49 seconds remaining. Shots a goal 13-11 to the Brave for the third period, and 33-31 to the Brave overall. So a closer game. The Thunder picking up a little bit more in that game compared to the previous game. And a game misconduct for Jonathan Bremner at the end of that game there. So he should be out for one game against the Mustangs next week. And so fairly even. Both goaltenders, Matthew Dugas and Petri Pikkanen, saving 28 shots. Matthew Dugas faced 33 and Pikkanen picked up 31. Would have been a good game to see over there in Perth. I know there was a fair bit of frustration with the Perth Thunder Twitter account over the weekend. Sometimes it's difficult to live tweet, and sometimes it's also very difficult to please all the people all the time. And I know how difficult it is trying to follow a game on Twitter, especially when you're thousands of kilometres away trying to follow your team. So that's that final game for the weekend. Brave were too good for Thunder. You are listening to Act of the Penalty Box, period number 2. So let's have a look at the coming week, as I wrote on Hewitt Sports this week. Let's have a look at the points and see where your team is heading and what is coming up as we close the second period here. The Melbourne Mustangs are currently in first position on 38 points. They had last weekend off, and this weekend they are off to Perth So 6 points to the Mustangs. Not assured, but would be very, very handy for them at this time of the season. However, watch the Thunder on home ice. They're no pushover for sure. And it also depends on which Mustangs team turns up on that particular day. But you would have to favour the Mustangs, especially if you're a Mustang supporter, to pick up the 6 points there. Remaining, they have two games against the Thunder away this weekend. They have two games against the Brave away. Then they have the fourth Melbourne Derby. I was going to call it the Battle of Melbourne again. The fourth Melbourne Derby at the Ice House against the Ice. Then they play a home game against the North Stars, an away game against the North Stars, and then the Ice Dogs for the final game of the season away. Heading down to second place, Melbourne Ice are second on 38 points, but due to count back, they're second. They lost against the North Stars last week 4-2, but they won 3-2 against the Ice Dogs. So a loss against the North Stars, a win against the Ice Dogs, a mixed weekend for the Ice. They were probably counting for those 3 points against the North Stars, but they didn't get it. This weekend, they host two games against the Melbourne Ice at the Ice House in Melbourne. Adelaide would be feeling very good about themselves after Oddyfest last weekend. So the Melbourne Ice actually have no further travel to do. They have two games against the Adrenaline at home. They play the Mustangs. Officially, it's a Mustangs home game, but they're at the Ice House. And then they play the North Stars and two games against the Thunder. No more travel for the Ice. And speaking of the Ice, I'm actually waiting for my DVD to arrive, but I'll talk more about that in the third period. Third place is CBR Brave. Now, according to my new calculation, they are on 37 points. However, you won't see that on the Australian Ice Hockey League competition ladder as of yet. Last weekend, of course, as I mentioned earlier, they defeated the Thunder twice. On Saturday, they won 3-1, and on Sunday, they won 5-3. This week, they host the North Stars on Saturday in Canberra, and then they come up to Sydney to play against the Bears on Sunday afternoon. I'll be at that game. If you see me, say hi. And so they have the North Stars at home this week and the Bears away. They then have two games in Canberra against the Mustangs, which will be their final home games for the year. And then they're away to the Adrenaline, two games against the Adrenaline and a game against the Bears. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, they picked up an extra point because of the rescheduled game that was cancelled against the Adrenaline. Now, as a result of those aforementioned rescheduled games that are now cancelled games, the Adrenaline received two extra points, 1 point per game because of those two games that they lost. They've now slotted unofficially into fourth position on 37 points. Last week, as I mentioned earlier, they had absolutely everything on the Bears, winning 6-4 and 8-1 over the weekend during Oddyfest. And this week, as I mentioned earlier, they shoot across to Melbourne to play the Melbourne Ice. They have two games against the Ice. And so really it's their penultimate weekend of the season. Two games against the Ice away and two games against the Brave at home. And then that is it for Adelaide. Let's see how they go. They would really want to maximise the amount of wins to be as high as possible and maybe rely on other results to see where they go in the top four. Of course, the top four play in the finals of the Australian Ice Hockey League, and after that we'll see who wins the Goodall Cup. Speaking of the Goodall Cup, the current champions, the Sydney Ice Dogs, are on 36 points. They were in the top four at the end of last weekend, but with my new calculation that will be adopted soon, they go to fifth position on 36 points. They had a tight 3-2 loss against the Melbourne Ice and Liverpool that I mentioned earlier. They could have won that game. This week, they play the Newcastle North Stars in Newcastle on Saturday. And so they will want to win that game. They play the North Stars away this weekend. They play the Bears away next weekend at the Battle of Sydney. Then they have three games against the Thunder. One at home, two away, and then their final game is against the Mustangs at home. And so the Sydney Ice Dogs in fifth position on 36 points, adjusted for those extra points to CBR Brave, Adelaide Adrenaline, and the Sydney Bears. So your top five, Mustangs, Ice, Brave, Adrenaline, and Ice Dogs. Now, as much as anybody wants to comment about the other three teams, I'm calling it the North Stars gone, Thunder gone, Bears gone, and all three of those teams will be playing for pride and also playing for positions on next year's team and seeing as and to see how high they can get to. Nobody wants to end up in last position. The Newcastle North Stars are 6 on 26 points. They had a good win against the Ice last week at home. They play the CBR Brave on Saturday afternoon, and then they play the Ice Dogs at home on Sunday. So they have the away game against the Brave, the Ice Dogs at home, the Thunder at home, the Bears at home, Mustangs away, Ice away, and Mustangs away. So they've got two trips to Melbourne and a trip to Canberra remaining there. So that's not the best run home. And of course, the Newcastle North Stars have been one of the more successful clubs in the competition, and for them not to make the semi-finals this year will be a disappointment. The Perth Thunder, they lost two games against the Brave. They're 7th on 25 points. This weekend, they host the Melbourne Mustangs. They have two games against the Mustangs at home. They play the North Stars away. They play the Ice Dogs away. And then two games against the Ice Dogs at home for their final home game of the year. And they finish the season in Melbourne with two games away against the Ice. So it'll be a tough competition for them this week against the Mustangs, but you never know what the Thunder are going to do at home. And so I dare say that some of the other teams might be cheering for Perth this weekend. And finally, the Bears, they're in 8th position, 22 points. They've picked up another 2 points because of the extra point that they received after the bus crash. They had two massive losses against the Adrenaline last week. Sean Hamilton-Steen picked himself up a hat-trick on Saturday, so that was good. And Luke Reid started in goals on Sunday, so that'll be interesting to see how much more time Daniel Palmke spends in goals this season. We'll see how he goes on Sunday. I've never actually seen Luke Reid start at the national level. I've seen him start in a East Coast Super League game, but we'll see what happens. They play the Brave this weekend at home. They have the Ice Dogs at home, the Battle of Sydney. They have the North Stars away, and they have the Brave at home. And of course, they've received an extra point because of the game against Adelaide. So that is what's happening. And just to go through the table one more time before we talk about some things in the third period. The Mustangs on 38, the Ice on 38, the Brave on 37, the Adrenaline on 37, the Ice Dogs on 36. That's your top five. And say goodbye to Newcastle North Stars 26, Perth Thunder 25, and the Sydney Bears on 22.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please rise for the Zamboni!
for the Zambonis.
And the crowd, they grow restless. They basically expect it.
What do they expect?
A breakaway, a breakaway, a breakaway. Steal the puck, pass it up, and break the breakaway.
Ladies and gentlemen, the figure skating horns.
You are listening to Act the Penalty Box, period number 3. And we've got rid of all of our serious talk over the last 2 periods. So let's have a little bit of fun. The off-season for some of us is coming up. Yeah, the off-season is coming up. Some closer than others because, of course, not everybody can make the finals. But, of course, we have the Northern Hemisphere hockey season to look after as well. So let's have a look at a movie that I watched during the week. My very first hockey movie that I've ever watched, it was called Goon. And it was a very interesting movie. I purchased it on iTunes and I watched it the other night. It was rather cool. Here's the trailer, and I'll put a copy of this on the show notes at irktothepenaltybox.com.
I don't have a thing, but you have your show, and my dad and my brother, they have their doctor thing. Everybody's got something but me.
Come, sir. Let's just go watch the Assassins.
I'll fill you full of corn dogs.
What is he recognized?
That's it.
Oh, he's going up in the stands.
See this over here?
Oh, Adam Boy, Dutch!
The hell out of me last night. Come down to the ring for a tryout.
No, you're not joining the Oscapades, right, buddy?
You're not trying enough for the what?
You've been touched by the fist of God.
What number you want to wear?
69. Take the number 69. It's hilarious.
Is that number taken?
My brother, he wants to offer you a contract.
You're not here to play hockey. You're here to fight.
This is one step under the big league.
No glory holes here tonight.
Hey, I'm Doug Ladd.
2 rules,
man. Stay away from my Percocets. And do you have any Percocets?
All right.
Who the hell can take these guys?
You are dumb.
I'm on your team.
I'm here to do whatever they need me to do. They need me to bleed, and I'll bleed for my team.
You can do anything except punch people.
What do I know?
So you're like the Hebrew Dolph Lundgren.
Doug. I dig hockey players, the violence, the beer. I'm horny a lot.
Bosch, the boss, Ray. He is the master.
You have my respect. If ever there comes a time when it gets down to you and me, I will lay you out, kid.
This has all the elements of a sports masterpiece.
Ready?
Yes. Thank you for asking.
This is about to get ugly.
Come on,
Johnny! Hey, you want to go?
Yeah, okay.
Good luck, man.
Good luck to you too, bud.
Knock him out.
So I'll leave a copy of the trailer on the show notes. But that was Goon, a very, very violent movie, as you can imagine. But it's also a hockey movie. And it's the story about a man who's floundering. He opens the movie as a security guard until a team finds out that he can fight. So he can't skate. He can't play ice hockey or anything like that, but his main thing that he can do is punch on. So he's called a goon, and you basically follow his adventures from there on. So you'll also spot a very young Sean Hamilton Steen from the Sydney Bears, and that's probably one of the reasons why I watched this movie first in relation to hockey movies. And there, I dare say that there's a few hockey movies out there, and actually I'm going to go through some of them because I want to add some to my list. We'll be right back. You are listening to Period 3 of Irk to the Penalty Box, having a little bit of fun. It's been a little bit serious, and so let's have some fun. According to BleacherReport.com, I'll put a link to this in the show notes as well, 15 hockey movies that every serious fan must see. And the first one on their list is Legends of Hockey from 1996. It's a documentary about each decade of the National Hockey League, with players interviewed up until the mid-90s when the movie or the documentary was released. It was released in 1996. And so it's a DVD box set, and that is Legends of Hockey from 1996. The next one is called Mystery Alaska. And it's the premise of this one. It's a rather interesting one. I'll put the trailer to this one as well. The New York Rangers play to Alaska to play a pond hockey team. And so apparently you shouldn't be looking for any real New York Rangers in the lineup. But Russell Crowe actually plays a part in this as the town sheriff and the team captain. And so Burt Reynolds is the coach. So I'm going to have a look at that one as well. The next one on the list is the Mighty Ducks franchise 1, 2 and 3 between 1992 and 1996. It's a Disney movie, as a lot of people would be aware of. So it's a younger generation movie. It's the same sort of story as Bad News Bears. Emilio Estevez is the reluctant coach. And so the first version, they play the Hawks. In the second one, they play Team Iceland. And in the third one, they play Eden Hall Academy. So it's a kids movie, but it's one that a lot of hockey fans are into. Nathan Walker, by the way, he cites this as one of his reasons that he was first introduced to hockey. And the Washington Capitals have actually just announced over the weekend, just gone, that they've actually signed him to an entry-level contract for 3 years. So that's awesome news as well. The next one isn't technically a movie, but it's 10 minutes long, and it's called The Sweater from 1979. It is an animated 10-minute movie, so some people might enjoy this particular movie. I'll put a link to all of this, of course, on the show notes, and so you can get some sort of idea. Another one on the list is Youngblood, described in this article as Point Break or Roadhouse on Ice. Youngblood from 1986, starring Rob Lowe. And he was introduced to hockey in Canada by Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves. So that's an interesting one. A lot of people have that on their list. The following one on the list is called The Rhino Brothers from 2002. And so this one centres on a dysfunctional fatherless family whose younger son is wavering on abandoning the family dream of having an NHL player in the family tree. And so that one might be an interesting one to watch as well, The Rhino Brothers from 2002. The next one is a documentary-style mini-series called Canada-Russia 72, was released in 2006. It was a documentary about a summit series in 1972 between the Soviet Union and Canada, played in the summer of 1972. The Canadians underestimated the Soviets early, but they came back to defeat them on unfriendly ice in a dramatic eighth game. So that's a documentary series. I quite like those documentary-style mini-series sort of ones, and of course, not being familiar with some of the history of ice hockey, that'd be an interesting one to see. Speaking of Canadians, this movie called Le Boys from 1997 is from Quebec. It's possibly described in this article as a grown-up version of the Mighty Ducks, rather, meeting Break into Electric Boogaloo. And so there's no Disney presence and no breakdancing. And so Le Boys is chock full of good moments, and the film was successful enough to command a couple of sequels and a TV show. Make sure that you know French or get the English subtitle version, otherwise the movie is significantly less enjoyable. And of course, I mentioned Goon before, described as Stifler on Ice. The guy who was Stifler in the American Pie movies stars in this particular one. So I spoke about Goon before. Net worth from 1995 takes a look at the trials and hardships faced by Detroit Red Wings legend Ted Lindsay as he attempted to create the National Hockey League's first players association. And so he worked with Doug Harvey of the Montreal Canadiens to form an association, and specifically not a union, as to avoid the wrath of the team owners. And so, according to this article, it's great for Red Wings fans, which I'm not, and a hockey history buff, which, yeah, maybe. But it's interesting to see an alternative point of view. Now, the next one is from 2005, Waking Up Wally, the Walter Gretzky story. And so it talks about basically Wayne Gretzky's father, from what I can see, and he struggled to overcome a near-fatal brain aneurysm in 1991. And so if you're a Wayne Gretzky fan, that might be one to watch as well. 2005, The Rocket, the Maurice Richards story, is a biopic of a legendary Canadian sniper, Maurice Richards. It takes a look at his ascent to stardom from working class scrub to the Montreal team that would propel him to superstardom. The presentation of the movie is fantastic and takes you back to the 1950s. And so, apparently, according to this article, there's a few cameos from some NHL players as well. Now, Pond Hockey is a documentary from 2008. It examines the evolution of hockey and the changing culture surrounding the sports. It has interviews with past and present NHL stars. And it also chronicles the first US Pond Hockey Championships in Minnesota. And so that might be an interesting one to see, especially if people just associate things with big stadiums and whatnot. Now, the next one I've seen a lot of people mention, Slapshot from 1977. It has spawned more hockey related quotes than any other hockey movies combined. Paul Newman is in this one as player coach Reggie Dunlop, and he leads a cartoon character group of hockey miscreants and cast-offs. And so I've heard a lot of people talk about Slapshot and Slapshot 2. Miracle from 2004 is a Disney reincarnation of the actual events between Miracle on Ice. And so that was a game, I believe, between the US and the Russians. I have to know a little bit more about that one, but an interesting one, especially if you haven't seen that particular area. And that is it for movies. And after this, I'll tell you about one bit of movie that you can watch that's the same. So, I was watching Goon the other night, and I was looking at a list such as that and thinking, you know, what hockey movies can I watch? What hockey movies have others recommended? And I've had some other movies recommended to me. So that's very interesting. But one that I am actually waiting for delivery on is the Melbourne Ice documentary, which talks about their three good old cups in a row. And so I'll put a link to this one in the show notes as well. You can actually see the trailer and some of the previews, so you can get a bit of an understanding of what goes on. And for a new hockey fan like me especially, this gives a great view of some of the things that you can see at games that the average fan doesn't have access to. Now, I've had a little bit more access because of the media type work that I've been doing than the average fan. But the average fan, for instance, wouldn't get to go into the dressing rooms, wouldn't get to see what happens when a player goes to hospital or things like that. You know, the training sessions. When I was in Melbourne recently, I had the ability to go to the training sessions of the Melbourne Ice and the Melbourne Mustangs and have a look there. But some of the behind-the-scenes things that you wouldn't necessarily see, you can see. And I'm just waiting for this DVD to arrive. It hasn't arrived yet. I ordered it on the weekend. I'm still waiting for it to arrive. Hopefully it'll arrive within the next week or so, so I'll be able to let you know what I think of it. It is probably the only full-length documentary series that you could watch on the Australian Ice Hockey League right now. It was basically based on the Melbourne Ice season of 2012 as they were going for their third good old cup in a row. No need for a spoiler alert, they did it. You know, just ask any Melbourne Ice supporter and they'll tell you that they did it. So no need for spoilers there. But it's very interesting to see some of the coaching methods, very interesting to see some of the training methods, how players get ready for games and that sort of thing, and to see some TV coverage, to see some jerseys that I haven't seen, to see some teams that I've, you know, heard about, like the Rhinos and the Gold Coast Blue Tongues and that sort of thing. Very, very interesting. I'll put a link of that on the show notes as well, so at least you can get some ideas and that sort of thing. But it'd be interesting to see another version of that. Of obviously, one of the premier benefits of this particular one is that they were basically given all access to the team and everything like that, and you know, the players and the coaches were obviously aware that the cameras would be around. And so I dare say it'd be like appearing on the Australian TV series Big Brother, that when you first get there, you're highly aware of the cameras and everything like that. But of course, when you're there on the ice, when you're training, when you're playing, when you're in the dressing room or whatever, you're concentrating on what's going on around you, not necessarily what is happening with the cameras and all of that sort of stuff. So if you're listening to this and you're an Australian hockey fan and you haven't seen it yet, check out the Melbourne Ice three-peat video. I'm just waiting for my copy now. It'll give me a very, very interesting insight. So it is coming up to finals time. It's the first weekend in August coming up, and of course the remaining games of the Australian Ice Hockey League are coming up, with the finals in Melbourne on the 30th and 31st of August. I'm all booked for my flights and my ticket. I just have to get my accommodation sorted. Looking forward to seeing a lot of people that I've seen before and a lot of new people that I haven't seen, and to excellent days of hockey coming up. If you go to the league website, you may be able to pick up some tickets. I know all the seating is gone. You just have to go to basically stand up, All the seats are gone. There's some standing room tickets that are still available. Not sure exactly how many of them are remaining. Let's have a look. But I dare say that have a look at the website. Have a look in the fan communities and that sort of thing. When it gets a bit closer, some people might be looking for tickets to sell. Some of them might be looking for tickets to buy. So you never know. I'll be down there. It'll be very interesting to see what happens. And, of course, I'll let you know what happens each and every week on Irk to the Penalty Box, irktothepenaltybox.com. Thank you very much for listening. As always, our intermission music was supplied by the Zambonis and used with direct permission. I found a Zamboni sticker courtesy of the Newcastle North Stars this week that I'm hoping to get my hands on when I go up, hopefully, to the North Stars Stadium in a couple of weeks' time. My other car is a Zamboni, says the sticker. So hopefully I'll be able to get some of those stickers and send them in the direction of the Zambonis. Our music that was played in between the periods is by Hard as Nails. They are a female-fronted band here in Sydney. They're hard rock, as you can imagine. They're having a little bit of a break at the moment, but I'm hoping that they will be back bigger, better, and harder than ever. They're an awesome bunch of people. We're going to hear three songs of theirs to take things out as you leave the stadium. We're going to hear Henry, Demonize, and a very appropriate one for the Australian Ice Hockey League, Getting Paid. I'm Irk. Thanks for listening. Go to irktothepenaltybox.com. See you next week. See you at a game. Don't forget to keep your stick on the ice and keep out of the penalty box.